fate. You either love them or hate them. Now, I don't particularly like fate myself, but in my line of work, I have to observe a lot of fate, mainly when showering clients and paying particular attention to how they've dried, well, especially between their toes. I've seen cracked heels, bunions, and corns. We sometimes do foot spas, and this practice is designed to relax and calm the person. It also gives me a chance to chat to the person when sitting at their feet, especially those who are fast movers when on their feet. I mean, but we don't always get a chance to talk to them. In other words, we pay attention to how they're tracking. Having said that, sitting at the feet of these beautiful people while doing my job reminds me of when I could sit at my grandmother's feet, listening to her stories. The stories could be about her past, about her in general, anything. It was my most comfortable place. Sometimes she would talk about God and how much he meant to her. And she would sing hymns going around the house, and we always had reminders of who Jesus was. Now, as a child, I remember looking at her feet. They were shocking. There was big bunions, corns, and all the symptoms of getting old. Right? But those feet were well used, mainly to drag me to church each Sunday when I didn't want to go. And as if that wasn't bad enough, she would drag me down the limestone road, which was an extremely long road where I used to live in Belfast. And she would drag me to the gospel halls, which actually I preferred, because it was more casual and I loved the songs. And there was something very personal about that little hall. I have such fond memories looking back. Those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs have stayed with me to this day. And only now do I realize how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. And how more beautiful would it be to have been for Mary to sit at the feet of Jesus, the great teacher himself. This would be better than any experience we could have on this earth. As for Jesus, how much better to sit at those feet. And as Lena comes forward, I'm to teach us about this beautiful story of Mary. We can learn what it's like to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him in true submission and with humility before our God. We welcome Lena.
My name is Lena, and I'm going to be talking about Mary, the true worshipper. Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Let's take a moment to picture this beautiful image in our minds. How wonderful it must be to sit at the feet of our Lord and be taught by the one who gives life. Can you imagine how much awe and love Mary had for her Lord, sitting there at his feet, looking up attentively and listening carefully to every syllable that came out of the Lord's mouth? What a beautiful picture. Sadly, however, it's too easy to miss these opportunities to sit at the Lord's feet as we become distracted and misguided like Martha, especially in this modern age that we live in. Now, I'm sure everyone here would like to be like Mary, to hear our Lord Jesus say to us, "You have chosen the good part that will not be taken away from you." So how do we become like Mary? I must confess from outright that I am a Martha. I too get very easily distracted with worldly business and anxious and bothered about irrelevant stuff. As Laura mentioned earlier, there are so many distractions which are a snare to us today. I think we can somehow all relate because we lead frantic lives rather than focused lives. When I first read this story, I empathized with Martha. I get her. I understand perfectly why she would be working frantically to make sure she prepares the best dinner for her friend Jesus, and his disciples, and her brother Lazarus. We are talking about 14 men here. It's no easy feat. I felt it was a bit unfair that her sister Mary chose to sit and listen to Jesus while she left her to prepare the meal all by herself. But Jesus didn't. Jesus addressed Martha in pitying love because he knows our hearts. He knows what was in Martha's heart, and he knows what was in Mary's heart. In fact, Jesus commended Mary for sitting and listening to him without distraction. Jesus says to Martha that only one thing is necessary. When I first read this, I thought, is Jesus referring to the meal? Like, Martha, we only need one dish, preferably an all-in-one pot kind of thing. Now, I can imagine the banquet that Martha thought that she needed to prepare. She wanted to impress Jesus and his disciples with her hospitality. Now, being a typical Martha, I understand this too well. In our Portuguese culture, hospitality is something we pride ourselves in, and we tend to go out of our way when we entertain, because we are always out to impress our guests and over-eagerly want to provide a good time. The Portuguese way to accomplish this all-consuming mission is with a variety of dishes to compensate for any and all culinary predispositions. Now, I've gotten better over time, praise God for that. But in the past, when having guests over, the meal preparation would be endless. I would plan a meat dish. It would be either pork or lamb or beef. And then there would be a chicken. I'd have to do the chicken for the kids because they like chicken. And then I couldn't forget the fish because the older generation prefer fish. And that's just for one course. I often would have worked myself into a frenzy. First, the endless shopping list to make sure that I have everything that I need. Then the cooking and the cleaning of the house. The house has to be perfectly clean, you know. I have to impress. And most of the times, I did not do it with a glad heart. But rather, I was quite resentful of the position I had put myself in. And this is just for when my family came over. I don't know what I would do if I were in Martha's shoes. She must have felt like she had to prepare a dinner fit for a king. After all, the King of Kings was in her house. So Martha concentrated so much on serving and preparing the best meal for Jesus that she lost sight of who was in her house, the one with the words of eternal life. I don't know what I would do if I were in Martha. So what is this one thing that Jesus speaks that is necessary? By the way, ladies, Jesus spoke of something being necessary only twice. It was here with Mary, and the only other time was when he said that it was necessary for the Son of Man to die and rise again in order for Scripture to be fulfilled. This one thing that Jesus says is necessary is to get our priorities right, to put Christ first before anything else, to put Christ, to seek him diligently in his word so that he can teach us how to live godly lives and the rest can follow. Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of the 1800s, remarked that sitting at the feet of Jesus indicates the childlike spirit of true discipleship, and this is the one thing needful. This is clearly what Mary chose to do, to sit at the feet of Jesus in a childlike spirit of true discipleship. Mary has chosen the good part, Jesus says. Don't we long to hear our Lord and Savior say those beautiful words to us too? Mary knew how precious this visit of Jesus was. She chose to sit at his feet and listen attentively to his teachings, knowing that Jesus had the words of eternal life. Mary gives Jesus her full, undivided attention. She doesn't care about food. Jesus feeds her. This is actually true. The Word of God does feed our bodies and nourishes our souls. Now, I'm trying to imagine that scenario in Martha's house. Ladies, we all know how our siblings, especially older sisters, can give us not so subtle hints. Even our Christian sisters. How do you think Martha fared? Martha might have first given Mary numerous looks, then possibly cleared her throat a couple of times, followed by long and loud sighs. Then she tried banging the pots and the lids. This should get Mary's attention that she needed help. But no. Until eventually, her frustration got the better of her, and she decided to go straight to the source of Mary's attention. I am amazed that Mary did not allow herself to get distracted by Martha. This is something we can all learn from Mary. Nor did she care what Mary or the others thought of her. Now, this is where I fail. I'm too concerned as to what people think of me, and thus I'm conscious of always doing the right thing. I have to be honest. In this scenario, I wouldn't be able to sit at Christ's feet like Mary did and not help my sister with the meal preparation. What would people think of me? You see, my pride is a huge problem. However, Mary had no such concerns. I'm sure in those days it was not common for women to sit amongst the men. But Mary, she was a true disciple of Christ. She was so focused on Christ and paid no attention to all the distractions from Martha. At first glance, one might perceive Mary to be lazy, right? After all, her sister was not being unreasonable asking for help. Women helped each other. That's how it is. And I'm sure Mary did so on other occasions. But not on this one. This one was different. The guest was too important. And he had the divine words of eternity. And Mary wanted to sit at the Lord's feet and just take it all in. Mary was treasuring up every word of Christ like pearls of wisdom, every syllable being music to her soul. We see a conviction and dedication in Mary's character. Mary recognized that having Christ teach her was precious and that she would not have such a favorable opportunity again. So Mary determined that nothing would take her away from sitting peacefully at the Lord's feet. Mary listened and learned so that she could sow seed, being the true disciple of Christ that she was. That is such an admirable trait, isn't it? It shows Mary's humility, her submissiveness. She puts Christ above all else. If I were to be like Mary, I would go to, for instance, the foreshore, approach broken people, tell them about what Jesus has done to rescue me from death, without fearing what they would think of me, or say to me, or even do to me. You see, Mary had that conviction. I'm looking forward to when our church food van is ready so that we can go out and evangelize. I'm too much of a coward to go out on my own, but hopefully in time. Jesus says that Mary has chosen the good part. Jesus goes on to commend Mary for choosing the good part. She would not lose the time that she spent at Christ's feet listening to him, the giver of life. Mary has chosen to feed on spiritual food, feeding her soul on the food that will never perish, nor will it be taken away from her. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, to lay up our treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Mary shows me that it is okay to be selfish in our quest in following the Lord. We must learn to say no to distractions, to put things in order of importance, and to prioritize our time with the Lord. Mary sat under the righteousness of Christ and listened to the wisdom of Jesus, her Savior, while she had the opportunity. How many opportunities do we miss? Our daily choices affect our lives, and the end result of this life is determined by the choices we make every day. Mary clearly knew that Jesus was wisdom, and she wanted wisdom. Don't we want that too, ladies? I do. Mary chose to rest in Christ and be filled with His word. She was filling up, much like the story of the five wise virgins we read in Matthew 25. She was listening and learning, feeding, edifying, loving, and growing strong so that she could be equipped for when Christ no longer walked this earth. Mary took a better way of honoring Christ. As modern theologian John Piper puts it, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. What is distracting you from sitting at Jesus' feet? Ladies, I'm sure we all have a little or much Martha that we need to root out. We can become consumed with things that simply don't matter, that is not profitable, or simply just a waste of time. I've been convicted of the time I waste on my phone. You know, those emails that we get with special offers, etc. I've been sucked in. It happens so sneakily. You think, just 5 minutes. And when you look again, a whole hour has gone by of just browsing. And I have nothing to show for it. I will never get that hour back. However, if I had chosen rather to spend that hour reading God's word or listening to a good sermon, now that hour would not be taken away from me. It would be deposited in my treasure bank in heaven. We need to be more like Mary and get our priorities right. Martha's mind was stuck in this world and all her responsibilities and achievements, while Mary's mind was in the other kingdom. Martha was caught up in sinful anxiety, while Mary was at peace. Jesus tells us our highest priority in life should be to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Jesus also gives us guidance in how to do that. He says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." He adds, "The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." What does distraction do to us? It makes us lose interest and we are unable to submit to Christ's teaching. We become jaded and disenchanted, and that void that only God can fill becomes bigger and bigger, while we try to fill it with other things, worldly things that never satisfy. Only God can fill that gaping void in our hearts, because that is how He created us. Like the wise man Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 17, "For all is vanity and a striving after the wind." Ladies, let's be like Mary. Let's make better choices and resist distractions that take our time away from the Lord. So let's elaborate a little bit on who are the Marys. They are the ones that put Jesus first above all else. The ones that are eager to read his word diligently. The ones that seek to know him intimately. The ones that hide his word in their hearts and live accordingly. The ones that are focused on Jesus and his finished work. The ones that shine his light in a darkened world. The ones that are waiting patiently for their bridegroom to return. The ones who don't allow themselves to be distracted by the world. As most of you know, I've just come back from a holiday where I spent a couple of days in South Africa. And there I met with my three Christian friends. We spent a whole day together in beautiful fellowship. These friends, especially my best friend Pindi, are facing difficult times. Her husband has been without employment for over 15 months now. The political, security, and economic situations are terrible in South Africa. And people do have cause to grumble and complain. But not my friends. No. They don't allow themselves to be distracted by what's going on in the country or in the world for that matter. Their focus is on their Lord Jesus. They, like Nehemiah, declare that the joy of the Lord is their strength. It's true what someone said, that the more you see Christ, the more inexplicable joy will be given to you. Our conversation centered around what the Lord is doing in their lives, their unwavering faith in God, no matter their circumstances. The conversation then shifted to the glorious new earth that we are going to inherit soon as children of the Most High God. We encouraged and uplifted each other with God's word. We reminded each other why it was profitable for us to suffer, as Peter pointed out in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is this need that draws us to Christ. He is our hope and the anchor of our soul. Jesus, the only one that can give us the peace that surpasses understanding. We bend our knees and pray to our Lord and to our eternal high priest that is always interceding for us. Halfway into our visit, it dawned on me that my sisters in Christ, Pindi, Elise, and Patricia, were indeed Marys sitting at the Lord's feet, being fed and nourished by him. I felt like I was home. I miss them terribly. So, ladies, in conclusion, I hope you see how much we benefit when we sit at the Lord's feet. I hope that we can grow to encourage one another with God's word. I miss that. You know, that is such a big incentive for me when I would hear a Christian sister or brother talk about a Bible passage which I hadn't read or maybe not understood as well as they were explaining it, and it would prompt me to go home and read about it. That is how important it is for us to stir one another up to reading God's word or to read a good book or to listen to a good sermon. I hope that we all leave here not feeling condemned, but rather convicted and wiser. We need to commit to making the Lord our priority, because He is our Savior. He is the one who gives us eternal life, the one who conquered death by His resurrection, the one that gave up His life to pay the ransom for our sins by His precious blood, the one who exchanged His righteousness for our sin, the one who was our propitiation, the one, the only one that could take our place and satisfy God's wrath so that we could be redeemed and reconciled to God. We love Him because He loved us first. Ladies, let us be encouraged tonight to honor Christ, our Lord and Savior, to show our love for Him by sitting at His feet, just as Mary did. We need to pray and ask the Lord to help us find a good balance in our lives. So, Father, we ask You to please help us, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, to help us make those decisions, those wise choices, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to be distracted like Martha was. And we know, Lord, that we all truly get distracted. But help us, Lord, to find that balance. Help us, Lord, to be loving and wise worshippers like Mary, and generous and good-natured workers like Martha. And for the Lord to help us do so in that order. And in so doing, we can achieve the awesome experience of sitting at the Lord's feet and choosing the good part, just as Mary did. Thank you, ladies.